Today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture about faith. Would you please turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, John has taken us into the fact that God is light, God is love, that we should love one another, and today he's talking about faith. Just think of this. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. I think the Apostle John's favorite word is believing. In his gospel, the Gospel of John, he used the word believing 98 times. And through this letter, he uses the word believing. And now he talks about faith. And they're associated, aren't they? You have faith, you believe, and you trust. So this morning, let's visit in this important area of our life, faith. Sort of mysterious, and yet so real because it's a part of our life. We might think of it this way in our Christian life. Who is worthy of your trust this morning? The world, yourself, or God? I was talking to a man recently about our Christian faith, and he was raving on about what he believed and what he had learned in philosophy classes and so on. And I said, well, what is your authority for what you believe? He says, well, it comes out of myself. Well, we have to have a higher authority. Someone we can really believe and trust in, and of course that is God. In speaking of the Christian faith, we have to understand faith is the gift of God. Now there is faith in a natural plane. For instance, you're sitting in those chairs because you believed it would hold you up. Right? Yes, that's right. That's faith. How many ate breakfast this morning? Well, folks, you need to eat breakfast before you come. You did that because you needed to, but you also believed it would sustain you. So there are a lot of things we trust in the natural sense, but here we're in a whole different area. Faith as the gift of God. There is nothing whatsoever to boast about. Now on the back of the bulletin, there's an outline to help you follow. We're going to begin with first the object of faith. Sometimes people speak about prayer. It was our prayer. Our prayer did it. Prayer changes things. No, it's not our prayer. It's the God to whom we pray. And while we think about faith this morning, it is not our faith. It's the God to whom we pray. When you exercise faith, who is it toward? Self? Others? No, it has to be toward God Himself. It's so easy to get distracted. Now, what would cause us to be able to trust God? First of all, His character. We trust God because He's trustworthy. He's honest. He keeps His word. He does not deceive us. He doesn't go back on His word. His character is absolutely trustworthy. The second reason we trust Him is because of His ability. Why would you pray to someone or ask for help if they weren't able to do it? So it is hypocritical for us to come to God in prayer and not believe that He is able, and to believe in His absolute omnipotence. He is all-powerful. He can. He is able. So that's the object of faith. Let's think now of the basis of faith. The basis of faith is the promises of God. God gave us His Word. His Word is full of promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will forgive your sin. I will provide your needs. I will protect you. I will. Our faith is based on the promises of God for salvation, provision, protection. And there's a passage in Romans 4 which states that Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God, but was strong in faith, believing that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Now you got to think about Abraham. Here he is sitting out there in the land close to the Tigris and Euphrates rivers in Mesopotamia, and God calls to Abraham and says, Abraham, get up and get out of here. Go to a land I'm going to show you. So he leaves most of his relatives, leaves his home and his security, and he goes. And he doesn't argue. He doesn't present alibis. He just does it by faith in the promises of God. That is the basis of faith. Now let's move to the nature of faith. Exactly what is it that we're talking about this morning in the area of Christian faith? Three things. Biblical faith, Christian faith, is believing beyond what we can see. Otherwise, it isn't faith. Do you have something in your life this morning that's unknown to you? You don't know the answer and you can't see it? Faith believes beyond what we can see. Jesus said, when you desire something in prayer, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. We need faith this morning for believing beyond what we can see. Secondly, the nature of faith is believing beyond what is humanly possible. That's why it's repeated in Scripture, with God all things are possible. Do you have anything in your life this morning that looks humanly impossible? Something needs to happen. Something needs to change. I need to change. But I can't do it. In Ephesians, we're told that God is able to do beyond what we could ask or think. Now just take a moment and take the biggest prayer request you can think of to God. What's the biggest, hardest, most impossible thing you could think of? He's able. No circumstance can hinder him. Now, thirdly, in the nature of faith is believing beyond my personal ability. Lord, I have to have this interview tomorrow. I just can't face it. I just can't carry it through. I have to do this on my job tomorrow. It's too difficult. I can't do it. I have this. I have that. It's beyond me. Now, faith covers that for us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can face any person. I can meet any task in the strength of my Lord Jesus Christ. So the nature of faith is this: believing beyond what we can see, believing beyond human ability, and believing beyond my own personal ability. Now we need to move to the exercise of faith. It's one thing to say that faith is the gift of God, which justifies me, which gives me my position of eternal security, but I have to live here every day. God didn't take me to heaven where I belong. I'm here. And I face the daily realities of life. And the faith which God gives us, we are to use. We are to exercise our faith. And that takes some doing because of our needs. There are trials. There are conflicts. There are anxieties. There are fears. There are temptations to make foolish decisions. There are necessities of life. There is work. There is school. There's family. That requires the exercise of faith. Exercise faith. Faith to be exercised is knowing something. We have to know something about God. Secondly, we believe, and then we trust. I can know that that is an airplane on the runway. It's right over there, see it? I can know that. And I can believe that's an airplane. That it flies. But unless I'm willing to get on it, I'm not trusting. I have to trust the pilot. That he's a man of good character who wants to get me, and he's able. So trusting is the essence of faith. It isn't there unless we're trusting. And when we trust, that can bring a great rest and peace to us. Faith is freeing, sets us free to rest. Or trusting can cause us to act, to do something. So it can be either way, depending on the situation, but whether we rest or whether we act, one thing is occurring. That is reliance. I am depending. And that's what God wants from us. The one thing we can do this morning that honors God is to trust Him. This is not foreign to us. One of the basic needs of our life is to be trusted. One of the basic needs of marriage is to be trusted. Love and trust go together. There's some things in life that go together. Salt and pepper. Ham and eggs. Love and trust go together. You don't have love if you don't have trust. We don't love God unless we trust Him, unless we rely upon Him, and unless we depend upon Him. Now this leads us to something directly in the text called the victory of faith. And this is the victory, the triumph that wins over the world. Now, why did John have to use the word victory? Why do we have victory in anything? Well, because there's a rival. There is a foe. And in this case, there's an enemy. And it's the world, the secular world, which is anti-God and anti-Christian, and it's against us. Therefore, we need victory because there's warfare. There's trial. And what is on trial in all the difficulties of life is our faith. Will we trust God in spite of? And Job was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. What a testimony. Now let's just review that in the history of Christianity. The victories of faith. This is why it's so important to keep reading the scripture. If you've never done so, begin in Genesis and read through the Bible and review those great events of history where God has used His people and they have come through with great victories of faith. Then turn to Hebrews 11 and you read, by faith Noah built an ark. By faith David beat Goliath. By faith Moses left Pharaoh. By faith all these things God accomplished through the exercise of the faith of His people. And God is doing that today. And whatever needs to be done in your arena of life, God will do through the exercise of your faith. There are so many things we could review as an example of that. For instance, the three young Hebrew men in Babylon with King Nebuchadnezzar, who wanted them to bow down to his image. They said, we won't do it. And he says, you'll be thrown in the furnace. And they said, our God is able to deliver us. And even if He doesn't, we won't worship you. Well, that threw him into a rage. And he heated the furnace 7 times hotter. And God brought him through. And brought him out of that oven without even the smell of smoke on their clothes. They obeyed in faith. Well, let me just get into one other example. God's people, the Israelites, are in Egypt, suffering under Pharaoh. By faith, Moses deals with Pharaoh. God gets His people out of there. They're marching across the wilderness. They get to the Red Sea. God parts the waters of the Red Sea. They go marching on toward the Promised Land. Now, it took them 40 years to get there, but they're encamped now right opposite Jericho with the Jordan River between them. And God says, go in and possess the land. And he says, tell the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant, carry it on their shoulders down to the water. The priests got their feet wet before God parted the waters. They and all the people of Israel marched on to the other side of Jordan. Now they are there. What do? There are enemies in the land that need to be defeated. And the first city is Jericho. Jericho is a well-fortified city with a huge wall and experienced army and ammunition. And the children of Israel have very little, no trained army, not much in the way of weaponry. And how is it going to happen? Well, God comes to tell them what to do. From a human viewpoint, really ridiculous. How could you ever, by faith, do something like this? Well, God said this, says, take the priest with the ram's horn and let them lead the procession, and you and all the people go out and march around the city. And can you imagine what's happening to the guard on the wall? He looks out over there and he sees this parade of people and he hollers back to the general. Hey, here they come. They're walking around. They're coming toward the gate. No, they're not coming in the gate. They're just marching around. Then he says to the general, they're leaving. They're not doing anything. Next morning, he's up looking out over the wall. Here they come. Here are those crazy people again walking around. 6 days. The seventh day, God said, when you march around, have all the people shout. So they did. And when they shouted, the wall fell down flat. And the Israelites were able to march in and take Jericho. How'd that happen? God used the faith of his people. You have any walls this morning that need to come down? It won't happen by your fighting, your struggle, your reasoning. It will happen by God's doing it, using your faith. Faith, it's the connection between God and us. I get a kick out of some people who think because I'm a pastor, they often ask me to pray for them because they think I have a direct line to God that they don't have. There's no way. Every Christian has faith. And that faith connects us to God. It's not our works, not our goodness, it's faith. Do you feel worthy? Do you feel capable? Here's what we need. We have opportunity to come to God in prayer in what the Bible calls the throne of grace. That's where we come in prayer. The throne, the seat of authority which is God's. Now, when you come, take with you the Word of God, which is His promise. Take with you the blood of Christ, which is His sacrifice. And when you do that, you are accepted. And I'm not saying you shall be or I hope you. You are accepted. That's your position. You are approved. God approves. You have God's attention. He hears you. And you have God's action. That's faith. And His action can be this: confirmation, where we have assurance He is saying, I am for you. I am for you. Trust me with what I am doing in your life right now. And don't try to dictate the circumstances or what He's supposed to do. At the throne of grace, you surrender to God's will. And we trust Him for that. There's one final thought we need to think about this morning, and that is persevering faith. We're in a tough world. We're in a world that's cursed by sin. We're in a world of opposition that's against our holiness. And there's a need to persevere. We get tired. We get emotionally wrung out. We need to persevere. And our faith needs to persevere. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. And the interesting thing is that these verbs present a continuing action. You keep on asking. You keep on seeking. And you keep on knocking. Don't give up. Because God doesn't give up. God didn't give up on me. And God hasn't given up on me since I've been a Christian. And I count on that. I don't count on my own merit. I count on God persevering my faith. And I'm thankful this morning that my faith gives me freedom and gives me rest and gives me peace. Well, John, one day in heaven, we're going to see you and we're going to thank you for verses 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Take heart, dear Christian friend. Persevere in faith. And God takes care of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of faith. Faith in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. Faith in the merit of Christ for our justification. And faith in your faithfulness to us to take care of us in this life. And Lord, meet our needs this morning. Some of us here are students. Some of us are husbands and fathers and business people. Some of us are wives and mothers with work to do. And some of us need your help just in varying circumstances. Give us faith this morning and cause us to exercise that faith so that we honor you this day and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.